Today on Bold Steps, Mark Jobe reveals the key to finding joy no matter what the circumstances.
I'm talking about when you're in the hospital bed and you're praising. I'm talking about when your kids aren't doing too good and you're praising. I'm talking about when your marriage is in difficulty and you're praising. That's the praise that makes it through the outer court and gets into the inner room and touches the very heart of God.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, President of Moody Bible Institute and Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Well, sometimes our circumstances have a way of overshadowing our hope. When the odds seem mounted against us or we feel trapped in a valley of chaos or defeat, it can be hard to find joy or courage for tomorrow. But in today's lesson, Mark is showing us that God can and will show up in the middle of any circumstance. And when we choose to take the right next step and pursue His will, amazing things can happen. Our message is titled Lessons from the Front Lines, and it comes from our brand new series called Joy is a Choice, Learn to Laugh Again. Now, let's join Mark Jobe for today's Bold Steps.
So baptism is a public sign so everybody can see as you go down into that water that your old self is left behind as you come out of that water, that you are risen as a new creation in Christ. Like it tells us in Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. This woman got baptized right there, opened up her house right there, and provided a place for these folks to stay. Now, the interesting thing about this is that Paul and his team had no idea when they went to Philippi. They were there several days, and maybe they were sleeping in the streets. But here's the lesson I want you to remember. When you do the right thing, God always provides the means for you to do the right thing. The Apostle Paul did that with a spirit of joy. The third point I want you to understand is this, that even the enemy will shout truth in order to trap us in his deception. Look what happened next. So Lydia brings all the people over to her house. They're staying at her house. They're rejoicing in what God has done. Verse 16. Once when we were going to a place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl. Now remember, the first convert is a businesswoman. The second convert is a slave girl. Not only just a slave girl, but a troubled girl. We were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. This is called the spirit of divination. Can I stop here and say that if you've ever been to a curandero, you say, well, I think they're kind of, you know, they got a picture of Jesus on their wall. Well, I'm glad they got a picture of Jesus. All kinds of religious artifacts, and they break some egg and do some voodoo over you. Listen, I don't care how spiritual it looks, it's not of God. Let me say it again. It is not of God. In this place, this is exactly a psychic reader, a curandero. They're paying money to predict their future. Some of you have dished out a few dollars for someone to give you your future, someone to predict your future. And in this place, it was not the spirit of Jesus doing it. It was a demonic impersonating spirit that was doing it. So if you've ever been involved in any of that, you better renounce it. You better get it out of your past. You better ask God forgiveness. You better say, close the door on it. God, I will never go back. I go to Jesus the Son and not to any impersonator. I go to the Father Himself. I go to the Holy Spirit. I don't need any in between. I'm glad I got that out of my system. This woman was predicting the future, and she earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. Verse 17, this girl followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. What? I mean, I thought this girl had a demon spirit. She's telling everybody, listen to these guys. They're from God. And they're going to tell you how to get saved. Now, that doesn't sound like a demon to me. How many of you know that the enemy likes to shout truth to get us trapped in just enough so he can get us in his web of deception? How many of you know that there's a lot of things out there that just have enough truth to get you involved in it? And once you're involved, it's going to wrap you up and take you down a road that leads to destruction. And you say, well, they said this and that's true. Yeah, just enough truth to grab you. Now, why was she doing this? I think she was doing this because she was trying to lead people astray ultimately. I think she was doing it because people would think she was with Paul and Silas on the same team, on the same side. And so people would say, well, I saw her with Paul and Silas. She was affirming their ministry. She must be on the same side. So what she does must be of God. But in fact, it was actually empowered by demonic spirits. And so day and night for several days, she would follow Paul and his team, yelling out that they are from God. Finally, Paul becomes so troubled that he turned around and said, you know, sometimes we have to get so bothered enough that we do something about it. How about it? Have you ever got so troubled in your spirit that you say, okay, enough. I'm going to do something about this. And she was kind of just this annoying little yeller on the side. But finally, Paul got so troubled in his spirit that he turns around and he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, come out of her. And at that moment, boom, the spirit left her. I don't know if she threw herself on the ground. I don't know if she, whatever. But in some instances, you know, when people are exercised, when they are demonized, there's manifestation. And the Bible says that this demon went out of her. The good news and the bad news. The good news is she was free. The bad news for her business owners is that she lost her power to predict the future. And the Bible says that her business owners, listen to verse 19. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. How many of you know that sometimes persecution is going to come because it thwarts the financial operations of those that are trying to make their money in dark, greedy ways? When the church of God rises up with power and might and shuts down adult bookstores and shuts down prostitution places and shuts down shady type of places, sometimes the people that are making a lot of money don't like the church anymore. Because the church is messing with their cash flow. And up until then, these business owners could have cared less about what Paul and Silas were doing. But suddenly, when he messed with their cash flow, they were angry. And the Bible says they stirred up such a commotion that they got the authorities involved. Why? They were men with money and influence. Crooked men with money and influence. And they got the authorities involved. So the authorities stirred up such an issue that they took Paul and Silas, they stripped the clothes off their back, they beat them with whips so that they were bloody, they threw them in jail, they locked chains around their feet and chains around their hand, they threw them in jail. Wow, what a sad story. I mean, these guys were doing the will of God. They didn't ask for it. They were trying to do what's right. Now, if anybody had reason to complain, murmur, be sad, whine, it was Paul and Silas. Would you have whined? I would have said, wait a second, God, you sent me here? I was going to Asia. You sent me to Macedonia. You sent us to preach. Now, look at my back, it's bloody. Look at my hands, they're chained. Look at my feet, they're chained. I'm in jail. This is no good to anybody. How is this going to glorify your name? But Paul was a little more spiritual than I am. Look at what it says at 12 o'clock midnight, what they were doing. I love this because it leads me to my fourth point. Praise breaks the chains in the spiritual realm that affect the physical realm. Look at verse 25. It says at verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were moaning and complaining and groaning. Wait, is that what your Bible says? Okay, I didn't think so. about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They were what? The Lord is good. Ouch. The Lord is good. Blessed is the man. Come on, Silas, move your chain around. Do a little clinking sound there. Put his trust in him. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. It says all the prisoners around were listening to them pray and sing. You know why? They had joy.
You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. We'll continue this message, Lessons from the Front Lines, in just a moment. Did you know that if you ever miss one of these daily teachings here on the radio, or you want to go back and revisit a message, you can do that anytime by visiting our website at boldstepsradio.org. Also, you can access these messages through your smart speakers at home or in the office by following these commands with Alexa. Say, Alexa, enable Moody Radio. Alexa, open Moody Radio. And Alexa, play Bold Steps from Moody Radio. And if you'd like to listen while you're out for a walk or during a lunch break maybe, you can easily find us on your phone any time of the day by subscribing to the Bold Steps podcast. Open up your podcast app, search for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe, and click the subscribe button. But that's not all. Mark also offers a one-minute feature called the Bold Steps Minute, where you can access daily nuggets of inspiration and biblical insights. To check out this convenient 60-second feature, just subscribe through your podcast app or go online to boldstepsminute.org. Now, let's get back to our message. It's titled Lessons from the Front Lines, and Mark Jobe continues on Bold Steps.
They have a spirit of joy inside of them, and the spirit of joy does not depend upon our circumstances. The spirit of joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit that gives us power and energy to hope and to believe God for more. They began to praise God at midnight. And you see, something started happening in the spiritual realm. I believe God loves it when we praise Him when it's hard to praise. Oh, it's easy to praise certain times. You get a promotion, you get a raise. And suddenly, praise God. Yeah, you're praising. You go to church and things are going well. Praise God. That's easy praise. But I'm talking about hard praise. I'm talking about when you're in the hospital bed and you're praising. I'm talking about when you get bad news from the doctor and you're praising. I'm talking about when your kids aren't doing too good and you're praising. I'm talking about when your marriage is in difficulty and you're praising. I'm talking about when people are coming against you and you're praising. You see, that's the praise that touches the heart of God. That's the praise that makes it through the outer court and gets into the inner room and touches the very heart of God. And I don't know exactly what happened, but I think God said, I like that song. God starts tapping his foot. Lord is good. I like that. He's tapping his foot. Suddenly the earth starts to shake a little bit. And the Bible says there is a big earthquake that happens. And suddenly the earthquake begins to roar. And the chains of their hand begin to fall off. The chains of their feet begin to fall off. All the jail doors open wide. And suddenly they are free. Why? The power of praise. And they find themselves free. Nothing binding them. No doors closed. And of course, the corrections officer was sleeping. Because it tells us, look, it's right there. It says, verse 27, and the jailer woke up. And when he saw the prisoner doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he knew if prisoners escaped, it would be his life anyways. So he's about to commit suicide. He grabs his sword. He's about to kill himself. And Paul pokes his head out the jail door. And he says, don't harm yourself. We're all here. Imagine the jailer, sword in hand. Paul, don't. The Bible says that the jailer called for the lights. They turn on the oil lamps. And he realizes all the prisoners are still there. He rushed in. He falls at the feet of Paul and Silas. And he says to them, What must I do to be saved? I love that. You know why? He had seen the power of God through praising people. When you start praising in the midst of your difficult circumstances and God is able to come through, there's going to be neighbors, there's going to be coworkers, there's going to be bosses that watch you, that watch what you're doing. And after all is said and done, they're going to say, hey, what do I need to do to have what you have? Because what do I need to do to be saved too? I want what you have. And Paul says to him, I love this. He replied, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household. And then he spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all of his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. And then immediately he and his whole family was baptized. Which leads me to my final point. And my final point is this. There is never, listen to me, never a wrong time to make things right with God. I mean, by this time, it's probably 1 or 2 in the morning. It's 1 or 2 in the morning. I don't know what the prisoners are doing. But none of them have left. He's over at the jailer's house. It's a bad time because when people find out that the jail is open, what's going to happen? 2 in the morning, they're tired, they've been beaten. But you know what? Right then and there, the jailer says, I'm getting saved. I'm giving my life to Christ. His whole family gathers his children, his wife, his uncles, his aunts, and says, hey, all of us, they give their life to Christ. They explain the gospel at 2 in the morning. They says, you know what? I think it's time for a baptismal service. And I don't know how they did it. Maybe there was a river next door they went to, or maybe they just got buckets of water and said, hey, we're going to use whatever we have here, but let's do it. And they got baptized right then at 2 in the morning after they gave their life to Christ, because there is never a wrong time to get right with God. I don't care if it's an emergency. I don't care if you're 75 years old. I don't care if you're 13 years old. I don't care if you're in the middle of a divorce. I don't care if you're about to get married. I don't care what's happened in your life. There's never a wrong time or bad time to get right with God. Some of you are saying, well, I'm going to wait for the right time. And I want to tell you, the right time is now. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, but open up your hearts. And the Bible says that he and his whole family gave their life to Christ. The next day, the magistrates ordered them to be released. There was a little commotion that went on there. Paul said, hey, we're Roman citizens. They can't just let us go that way. They got a little scared. Look at verse 40, what it says. After Paul and Silas came out of prison, they went to Lydia's house where they met the brothers, encouraged them, and then they left. The early church, the book of Philippi, the church of Philippi, the first converts, a businesswoman named Lydia, a slave girl set free, and a corrections officer found Jesus and his whole family. I can kind of relate to them. 12 to 15 years later, the letter of Philippians was written to them. Now, by the time the letter got to them, there's hundreds of people now that have come to Christ. But they were the basis. It was their family, their friends, their extended people in Philippi that came to Christ. And we're going to see what God did through that. I believe there's some of you today that God is asking you to make a choice. There are some of you that are believers today. That you know the Spirit of God. You have heard his voice. You've walked with him. But God is saying to you this morning, you need to choose joy because you have a rotten attitude. You've been blaming your attitude on your husband for a long time, but listen, you need to choose your attitude. You're a teenager, you're at home, you've been blaming your bad attitude on your parents, and God is saying to you, choose your attitude, the attitude of joy. God is speaking to some hearts today and saying you have no excuse, no rationale, no reason at all to lose your joy, because you can choose your joy You can choose your attitude today. Even though it may be hard, you choose it. In fact, there's some of you today that the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart today about making things right with God, because there is never a bad time to make things right with God. And if you are here this morning and you say, Pastor Mark, I have never given my life over to Jesus in a real public way, but today God has spoken to my heart and I've been waiting for the perfect time, and I've realized today, hey, today is the time. And if you have never given your life over to Christ and you say, Pastor, I need to give my life over to Jesus today. I can't wait for another day. I've never done it before, but I do not want to leave this auditorium or this meeting today without having given my life over to Jesus, invited Him to be Lord of my life, wash away my sins, and start this new life in Christ. I'm going to ask you to do something really bold. If you've never taken that step and you need to take that step this morning, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat right now. I'm going to ask you to make your way to the front so someone can pray with you. If you are here today, as we begin to sing this song, if you say, I know I need to take that step, then I want you to take a bold step, make your way out of your seat and come to the front and say, today I want to give my life to Jesus. And I've never made that decision before, but today is my day to make things right with God.
Yeah, so there you heard it. Maybe you're like that Philippian jailer. It may seem like an inconvenient time right now. Maybe you did not expect that this is what was going to happen in your life, but you realize today, I need to surrender my life to Jesus as my Lord and Savior. The Philippian jailer and his family gave his life to Christ, and they were baptized. There was no big ceremony. There was no baptismal tank. They found water and got baptized right there.
That simple, huh?
You may be in a place that you do not consider a sacred place right now, but you can do something very sacred right now, and that is surrender your life to Jesus. So I'm going to pray with you right now. If that's the decision that you're making, I want you just to pause right now. If you can, I want you to bow your head, and I want you just to pray this after me. If this is the decision that you're making, dear God, go ahead. You could say it out loud. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I'm far from you right now, but today I choose to surrender my life to you. I ask that you would come in, that you would wash my sins as I repent. And I pray, God, that you would turn me around, change me. I choose to follow Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Come, Holy Spirit, and renew me from the inside out. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And it's important that you do something intentional right now. And one thing I could suggest is to go to our website, boldstepsradio.org, and click on Mark's video called My Next Step. You need to do this, My Next Step at boldstepsradio.org. Now, Mark, before we leave, would you say a word about our Bold Step gift, this book by Tim Keller, The Reason for God?
Yeah, and so maybe you're listening to this message and you say, you know what, I'm not quite ready to make a decision like that because I'm just trying to figure out what I believe about God. And so I get that, and I understand that, and I'm glad you're listening to this program. Tim Keller has a great book called The Reason for God, Belief in an Age of Skepticism. And maybe there's questions like, why does God allow suffering in the world? Or how could a loving God send people to hell? Or why isn't Christianity more inclusive? Or how can one religion be right and the others be wrong? Or why have so many wars been fought in the name of God? Maybe those are some of the questions that are causing you to just not be sure about what you believe. So I want to encourage you to get this book, The Reason for God, Belief in an Age of Skepticism. And we want to get it into your hands. If you give a gift of any amount, we'd love to get it into your hands, send it right to your door so that you can begin to read this book. Or if you have friends in your life that have questions about this as you dialogue, this would be a great resource to help them figure things out.
To request your copy of The Reason for God, just visit our website at boldstepsradio.org and give a donation of any amount. Or give us a call at 844-615-7363. 844-615-7363. You can also send your gift and request this book through the mail. Address an envelope to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. By the way, you can mail any questions or feedback you have for Mark to that same address. We really do love hearing from our listeners, and if you've never done so before, we encourage you to take a moment today and simply let us know you're listening. You can send a handwritten letter through the mail or use the Ask a Question link on our website at boldstepsradio.org. And don't forget to connect with us through your Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube account by searching for Bold Steps Radio. And when you find us, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to our pages while you're there. I'm Wayne Shepherd signing off for now, but we'll see you back here tomorrow for a new message from Mark called The Attitude of Those Who Don't Quit. It's part of our ongoing series on the topic of joy, and you'll hear it Friday here on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.